Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hello and welcome to Season 2, Episode 23 of the Thistle Rugby Podcast, the only rugby podcast that cares about Scottish rugby. How are you guys doing? My name is David and I'm back from my vegan detox and we are at full complement and there's
Why
Matt
to my
left.
Why are you still so fat, mate?
I think, does veganism mean that you automatically get thin?
I thought you'd at least use a few pounds.
I thought so as well. apparently not. All that money wasted. So you can tell I'm joined by Matt and Alan. How are you, boys?
Yeah, good, good, mate. I think this is the most excited I've ever been for the podcast. As long as I can't be bothered, but this week I'm raring to go.
It is massive, and why is that?
You know, just casual under 20s won on Friday. That's what it was.
Under 20s won. The ladies got a fairly close result against England.
Made it through the beast from the east to be here tonight.
Beaten the beast from the east. Of course, we're here to talk about Scotland's amazing victory against England in the Calcutta Cup. So thanks again for joining us, guys, on Acast or through the iTunes podcast app. You've been chatting to us absolutely loads on Twitter at Thistle Rugby Pod, and we are getting there on Instagram as well, Thistle_Rugby_Pod. And we have had, I think, a record number of reviews this week from fans. So thanks so much for getting on there onto iTunes, giving us 5-star reviews, although there is 1 4-star review. I mean, when we say other stars are optional, we really are not really meaning that. 5 stars, please, guys. How about this one from La Rue Bidou? Says, great Scottish pod. Love the chat, the news, the swearing, and even the quiz. So, Alan, have you got a quiz for us tonight?
I do, and it has got no financial basis to it.
That's a real shame.
I have been getting a lot of feedback on that. So, but we got one fan. So
we did get one fan, which is great. So we're going to get into 3 Thistle-y issues this week. Number one, we're going to talk about what were the key areas in Scotland's amazing win against England. Number two, where do we need to improve to turn that into a victory against Ireland in 2 weeks' time in Dublin? And then number three, we're going to ask a question which has triggered Alan, the Ouija till he dies. Are Edinburgh better than Glasgow?
Sounds great. I just wanted to do a quick shout out that, yeah, just want to say one little thing. Alan and I were at the game, you know, enjoying ourselves. We were on a stag do actually, so we were out both nights. And we had 2 fans come up who recognized us and said they loved the work that we were doing. One of them was at the urinal in Fingers, which is a bit weird, but, you know, you take it.
I don't remember either encounter. So
you had gone home by the second encounter, to be fair. You'd lost it.
That's great to see some fans out and about in the wild. If you do see us anywhere in and around Edinburgh, please come up and say hello. Let us know what you think of the podcast. As long as it's nice, you know, if you've got bad things to say, stick to your keyboard warrioring, and we'll deal with you there. Right, before we get into those Thistley issues, lads, shall we have a quick look at some news? And how about some breaking news? Ryan Wilson has been cleared by the sighting commissioner for his not gouge on Nathan Hughes at the weekend.
Yeah, because he's got the same thing as the guy from Scary Movie 2. He's got like...
well, his fingers are always bent.
Yeah.
I mean, what was your view on it? I thought that video that was going around online looked pretty bad for him. It seemed to be a bit of a raking motion for me.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think he's going for a gouge, but as soon as you put your hand anywhere near someone's eyes, and just the way it happened, it looks as if he's trying to get his fingers in. So I was thinking he was going to get banned, even if I didn't necessarily agree with it. And you saw in the match that Nigel Owens asked Nathan Hughes and Wilson, what was that about? And if Hughes felt like he was being gouged, I think he would say, look at the screen, I was gouged. And he'd have to take that pretty seriously. So a bit of a non-event in the end, but I could see him. I thought he might have got a ban.
Yeah. Wilson was like laughing as he was getting choked by Nathan Hughes, which, you know, he's obviously not trying to rake someone if he's laughing at the same time. But yeah, it turns out that he's got... what, slightly bent fingers?
An injury that he picked up earlier this year, and it's meant that his fingers are bent, so it looked like he was raking, but he wasn't.
Well, he was trying to pam.
He was trying to pam.
It ended up looking like
fair play. I'm, you know, very happy that he's not banned.
Yeah. Didn't go down very well with one of our followers.
No, we did cop a little bit for suggesting he might have been guilty.
We didn't say, you know, he's a dirty player. We just said, it looks like he might get a ban. And the response was, oh, get fucked. Move over and let the real fans do the talking. You should be outraged, not agreeing with it, both as Scotland fans and rugby fans in general. Yeah.
Well, you know, you can't please everybody, but I think we can all pretty much say we're very happy that Ryan Wilson is not wearing a band, because a gouging entry point is, what, like 8 weeks?
Yeah, well, fingers near the eye area are minimum 4 weeks.
So very happy that he's not got that. So glad to have Ryan Wilson back. What else has been going on in news? Edinburgh have announced the signings of two players, Baggett and Fenton, a 10, and Fenton extending his time at the club, the young hooker. What do you guys think of that business?
Yeah, I think it's good. So Fenton came through this season from Glasgow. He wasn't getting much game time there. Yeah. And it seems as if, obviously, with Ford injured and McAnally away, with Scotland, it's sort of hooker's gone between Cochrane and Fenton. And from what I've seen of him, he's taken, you know, a big step up, taken his chance, and he looks like a pretty handy player. So, yeah, good squad player to have, still very young as well. So it looks like a good bit of news.
Yeah, and then I guess, obviously, with Donkey Ware and Tovey off at the end of the season, they're sort of bringing in Baggett as cover for Hickey and Van der Vaart. Mm. So, yeah, good to see what a young 10...
Yeah, coming through the club game as well at Melrose.
Yeah.
I think he might be South African, but sort of brought over, you know, as a youngster just to play for Melrose, not any sort of project player, and he's done well enough. So I'd like to see him get a few games, see what he's made of.
Speaking of South Africans, Rich Cockerell's alluded to three other signings that are going to come in before the squad is completed for next year, and the rugby paper, Matt, you were reading this, were speculating that Edinburgh have won the race for... A prop
called Pierre Schumann from the Blue Bulls, who I've never heard of, but it seems that a few clubs are in for him from the Premiership. I think Worcester are in for him as well. So, yeah, we'll see. South African prop, usually not a bad thing.
Usually,
apart
not.
From Ollie Kebble, but
give him time. You can't be the biggest man in Africa and not in be Africa. A good prop.
And best friends with Hugh Jones.
You know,
that's got to rub off.
Maybe that's
somewhere.
Part of Hugh Jones' deal, though.
Yeah.
I mean, come on, how did they get him?
Like, got to bring my mate. Other news, Rob Harley is now the most capped player in Glasgow history, so congratulations to Rob Harley.
And he signed a contract extension.
And he signed
as well.
A contract till 2020. Fair play to him. He's a very good club player.
Yeah, exactly. Great. Like, genuinely really useful for Glasgow in those games, particularly when the internationals are away.
Yeah. And then the one other person, Blade Thompson.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Has now signed for the Scarlets next season, but supposedly has Scottish grandparents.
What a name that is. Blade Thompson. You used to call the Blade in the day.
It was my old nickname, because I bladed through defences.
You got christened that at a rugby excellence camp back in the day, I remember it.
Yeah, but that Zimbabwean guy.
Yeah.
That was when I was making my transition from
Hooker. You're making a transition, mate.
To centre. And I used this sort of, what do they call them again? The old rugby summer camps.
Rugby excellence.
Before I came back to school to really solidify my role. And I was nicknamed the Blade.
The Blade. So this is Blade Thompson, right?
Yes.
Blade, can we go back to away from sort of summer camps 20 years ago? Blade Thompson is a Hurricanes player. He's coming over to the Scarlets, and New Zealand Herald say that he may end up playing for Scotland because he's got Scottish grandparents.
Fair play. Quite surprised that Scotland haven't been sounding him out. Edinburgh, Murphy, or Glasgow, sorry. But
yeah, if he goes to the Scarlets, he's replacing John Barkley essentially down there, so he can pretty much do if he wants to be involved, or if we want him to be involved, let's bring him up. Why the hell not? Last bit of final news. This broke about 10 minutes before we came on air. Glasgow have cancelled their match against Ulster at the weekend, or postponed it because of the Beast from the East. So that's about that. It gives us one last thing to talk about, actually, which is quite good.
And I mean, the Edinburgh game is almost certainly going to be cancelled as well.
I mean, the state of Edinburgh is really, really bad. We have really, really braved the conditions to get here, guys. So you should be very welcome. Right. News done. Should we move on to the big matter at hand?
The main course.
The main course. Scotland versus England. The first Calcutta Cup victory in a decade. Unbelievable. You guys were both there. What was the atmosphere like, first off?
It was absolutely incredible. I was saying this, that, you know, 2 or 3 years ago, I never wanted to go to Murrayfield just because I thought the atmosphere was poor and you're maybe unlikely to see a win. But in the last year and a half, I think since, you know, Townsend's come in and Cotter sort of laid the foundations, I think the atmosphere has completely changed. There's a sense of occasion, it's really big noise, and just a sort of a feeling that Scotland should win more games than they lose there.
No, absolutely. I mean, it was rowdy. It was real rowdy. I'd say it was the best. Actually, the New Zealand game last year was the best atmosphere I'd been to, and I think that game on Saturday actually topped it. Although I did have an English person to my right and an English person to my left who were not enjoying me patting them on the back repeatedly during the first half, just out of excitement more than anything.
Yeah,
I wasn't trying to be obnoxious.
It's easy to get carried away.
Yeah, exactly. Talk about the game.
Yeah,
itself.
So you guys saw it firsthand. Let's go into our first Thistle issue. So what were the key areas in that Scotland victory? Matt, I'm going to come to you first. Why don't you kick us off?
I mean, it's hardly novel analysis, but I think the breakdown was so important. And I think that Scotland set the tone in the first sort of 10, 15 minutes, which we knew was going to be crucial as well, considering they haven't started well in this tournament so far. But I think once it became clear that Nigel Owen was going to ref it in a certain way, that I don't think he was sort of favouring Scotland or anything, but he probably would favour a, he's probably favouring a Fetcher within that. And as a result, Barkley, Watson, even Wilson, Stuart McAnally as well, had an absolute field day at the breakdown. Which meant we won good possession, and whenever it looked like England were sort of had us on the ropes a bit, which I think happened a few times, we could quell that attack and stop them at source. And I saw England getting increasingly frustrated in that. You know, the fact that you're sending like Joe Launchbury to clear a ruck and he can't make much of an impact.
Yeah,
you know, that's quite damaging.
It was quite amazing, and the stats speak for that. And England conceded 13 penalties at the weekend, and 6 of them were for not releasing.
Yeah.
So if you talk about like a massive error, you can't win, very, very pushed to win an international game of rugby with those sort of stats going against you.
Mm.
And it's that what we've talked about in the last few weeks about what was missing, that Watson and Barkley performance where they absolutely dominate the breakdown, which we didn't see against Wales or France. I mean, it was incredible.
I think if you look sort of specifically at Barkley, he's not like an out and out athlete. When you like compare him to like Itoje and Laws, or even when you look at like Nathan Hughes in terms of just kind of how much of a sort of dynamic ball carrier he is. But I think what he's always had is he's a very smart player. And I think after the game, he said that they weren't intending to be that competitive at the breakdown, and they actually changed early on because of how Nigel Owens was reffing the game.
Yeah.
And I think that's probably been one of the issues with that England pack, is they are absolute beasts, but they're not actually particularly smart players.
Yeah, I can see that.
And I think Barkley sort of took advantage of that really, really well.
I think they just don't have that, particularly in their back row. When you're playing Courtney Laws, who is a second row, Nathan Hughes, and, well, Robshaw's all right over the ball, but he's not in that sort of fetcher role.
Robshaw literally never makes any
steals. No, he doesn't.
He is terrible. And he's been terrible his whole career.
Oh, mate.
I'm standing by it. But then when you play 3-7...
You wanted to drop John Barkley last week.
Yeah, I did. I did.
You wanted Magnus Bradbury.
Magnus Bradbury would have done the same job. No, I do agree that that was potentially a bit of a reckless shot. It was the outlier, though. But, you know, you crunched the numbers yourself, Alan. You think that our forwards weren't, you know, they aren't still aren't winning that game line battle.
They're not winning that game line battle, but I guess that's just not what they're picked for.
That's the strategy that we've gone for, isn't it?
And kind of weirdly, sometimes if you do make that gain line advantage, it's almost sometimes easier for the defensive team to get that steal because you get slightly more isolated. Yeah. So I imagine they obviously know they cannot match the England pack up front. The England forwards averagely were making double the amount of yards as the Scottish forwards, but they obviously decided that, you know, we can take them at the breakdown, and that's when we can sort of use turnover ball to really sort of make an edge.
Mm. Yeah, it was quite an incredible performance. And I think one other key area for me, and it takes us right back to the beginning of the Six Nations when we've been talking about prop crisis, front row crisis, that front row has been fairly solid, so at scrum time at least. And I think the emergence of Simon Bergen, for one, as, you know, a ball carrier around the field, looking really dynamic and solid at scrum time, and Stuart McInally's continued sort of, you know, amazing performances at number two, have made that sort of front row really, really solid and a massive part of the game.
Yeah, I mean, even Gordon Reid had a pretty good game at the weekend.
Yeah, he did.
I didn't recognise him because he was wearing a scrum cap.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
I was like,
yeah,
what has he done all day? And I was like, oh, right, fair enough. Yeah, no, I completely agree. You know, I think I said this last week, that whenever we had these sort of props step up or step into the fold, and they've had sort of, you know, Simon Bergen, I think when he first capped, had sort of like 8 caps for Edinburgh. Even Alan Dell, when he came in, you completely forget about him. You know, 5-6 caps. They've all done a really good job. And I wonder whether that's a coaching thing from Dan McFarland as the forwards coach.
Yep.
He's just sort of can identify their strengths and make them work really well together as a unit. But it's a nice problem to have in a way. And it was great. I thought that you weren't quite sure how the game was going to turn out, but bring on Nell at that point when the game is tight and still slightly in the balance.
Yeah.
And he obviously just told, hey, just like run around a bit and scrummage, you know, your heart out. And he won that penalty. Just massive lift.
I think in the first half, both the forwards and the backs had an absolute stormer. But I actually think in the second half, the backs were actually pretty average. I know they didn't get much ball, but actually the game was won because the forwards continued that level of performance into the second half. And, you know, look at McInally, not played much international rugby. The fact that he can play an 80-minute international game and on the 78th minute still be getting a turnover.
Yeah.
Especially a hooker, which is like, it's not very common that a hooker plays 80 minutes.
He's scrummaging the whole day as well, and he's still getting around the pitch. Fitness is incredible.
I think that whole pack, more even though obviously the backs kind of lit up the highlights reels, I think that pack were standout, better than Scotland backs on the day, and that's why we won the game.
Completely agree. Going to the back line, was that Finn Russell's best ever performance in the Scotland jersey?
I mean, it has to be. I mean, on the particularly in the context of, you know, two really bad performances in the media, and including us sort of getting on his back. Are we the media? Yeah, we're the media.
We are the media. I mean, I think the idea of like the media sort of rounding on him, you know, is fair enough up to a point, but, you know, he did have two really terrible games.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, within that there is this sense that he's cocky, and that adds to,
yeah,
you know, whether he cares. But
I think he is cocky.
Yeah, no, of course he is, but, you know, that adds to the whole kind of story. Yeah, I thought he played extremely well. I thought that, you know, that wonder pass aside, and the flash stuff, I thought there were a few moments where his kicking out of hand was couldn't be more different to the France game, for example.
Yeah.
Was kicking it out in the full. There's one where he took a high ball, rode the tackle, and punted it downfield. Really good yards. Another one he found, a really good touch finder. Maybe giving Stuart Hogg the kicks for touch took a little bit of pressure off. But I think he quite likes the pressure, as you saw on the weekend.
Yeah. I think he had an absolute awesome game. Do you think we learned anything new about Finn Russell?
No. I don't think he did things hugely differently from the last 2 weeks. It's just it came off these times.
But maybe we did learn something.
Maybe didn't kick it away as much against England. In fact, he definitely didn't. His stats tell you that. But, you know, the big passes and things like that, they were just, most of them were just sticking.
Yeah. I think people say, oh, if he was doing the same stuff against Wales, it just didn't stick. I actually don't think that's true. I think it was really bad execution and decision-making was part in those games. So I think that he sort of ironed out that side. I think you could say that maybe he's added, going through this period is a good thing, and he's maybe added a bit more mental strength. And coming off, I'm sure he had doubts. You know, he's a human being. But coming into the back of that, it's really nice. Like, I really am, like, the best player ever. Yeah. I deserve my Lamborghini.
Yeah. No, I think because his passing is just so good. He's so much good. Better than Farrell at passing.
At everything.
I know we've obviously discussed this. Like, people bum Farrell for his
you
passing.
You bum Farrell. You do. I've said this before.
Farrell can close out a game. I like that.
He can close out a game, to be fair.
If he was Scottish, we'd all fucking love him. But I think Russell is the best passer of the ball out of the Six Nations tens
in the world.
No,
maybe not quite.
I don't think as many players in the world could do that pass.
Agree. I think Bowden Barrett could probably do it.
Yeah, possibly. Anyway,
but yes, good. But I still think the key things with Russell is we know he's a maverick. He can have great games and bad games. So we want to see him be consistent. And at the same time, he's never really performed away from home for Scotland.
Yeah. There you go.
And so I think...
Australia in the summer too. Slightly different because it's
that's
summer
a one-off
tour.
Match, isn't it?
So much less pressure as well.
Yeah. I think that this week coming against Ireland, if we win in Dublin, that is that's a much bigger win for this squad than the England game.
Mm.
I mean,
that's incredible. I mean, one other key area. I mean, I don't want to spend too much time on it because there's only so many things you can say, but how good is Hugh Jones?
Yeah. I mean...
Like, how good is Hugh Jones?
He was good at everything. The only thing he did quite a nice chip at one point. He can kick as well.
Yeah, no,
that
he did.
That was a good kick.
Yeah.
That was a really good
kick.
I mean,
just the lines he's cutting, and he seems to have that wavelength with Russell, being the same wavelength.
And his defense was very... I mean,
he made a lot of tackles.
Made 13 tackles, I think.
Yeah.
Like, loads and loads coming down his channel, and just the speed. Like, when he made that break for his second try and then held off Watson and Brown,
I was at the bar.
Did you miss it?
It's 37 minutes, and I was like, because England were at the other end of the field.
Oh my God.
And I was thinking, this is too much. England are going to score just before half time, and that'll be like a big, like, psychological blow. So I was waiting for my beers, and a guy in front of me was doing the same, and he had the game streaming on his phone, and I heard this roar that wasn't actually that loud, so I thought England had scored, and he was showing it, and I thought it was a replay of the first try, and then I was like, oh my God. But yeah.
It's weird that Hugh Jones looks more comfortable at international level than he does at club level.
Yeah.
Like, Hugh Jones consistently has just looked probably like the standout 13 in the Northern Hemisphere, yet hasn't really yet, and been able to transfer that into the Pro 14 and European Cup. But yeah, I still just don't know how he got through that gap for that second try, because he wasn't really even... He had to check his run.
It wasn't that good a pass.
And it wasn't that good a pass.
It was kind of such a bad tackle, though.
Oh, God.
I mean, Hughes is just like, I'm not, not interested in doing that.
He was absolutely blowing.
Oh, he
about
was
5 minutes
ball bagged, wasn't he?
Yeah. I was just going to say a point that probably links to Russell and Hugh Jones, Pete Horn, and how you thought he played. I thought he played very well. But I didn't think he was a standout. But I just wonder if him as a... his kind of style as a player and how he fits in positionally, whether he takes a bit of pressure off Finn, and that sort of allows just a bit more of a flowing backline, rather than if you have someone like Dunbar, who maybe isn't much of a...
Yeah.
...of a receiver.
I think that's fair. Yeah, I thought Horn had a really... apart from that kind of screwed up two on one for Hamish Watson, which probably would have ended in Hugh Jones going in the corner, because he would have probably just shoved it along.
Yeah.
I thought he just had a really solid game. And I think you're right, because he is such a good distributor, it just takes that sort of edge off Russell.
Yeah, absolutely. And then into the back three, I mean, I thought all three of them played extremely well. I thought Seymour looked really, really good, back to his best, carrying quite well, making a lot of yards.
Yeah.
And I think Maitland is just a really, really classy player. He's extremely good in defense, positionally, and he finishes his chances.
I think Maitland's really important. Whenever he doesn't play and you sort of try someone, like McGuigan, for example, you think, oh, kind of wish Maitland was playing.
Yeah.
Just for that solidity.
He doesn't make mistakes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And he is still good in attack. He's maybe not like top line speed, but
he's really, really good.
And then I actually thought he didn't do much in attack, but in defense, Blair Kinghorn, when he came on,
I made so many tackles. So
yeah. He looked absolutely up for it and didn't look out of place at all. What a debut to have.
Oh, my
word. Unbelievable.
Must be so nervous.
I can't remember which one of the Edinburgh lads put it on Instagram. It was like an Instagram story of like Blair Kinghorn back at training on Monday morning, and he was just like having a sleep in the corner of the the corner of the changing room. It was like, big weekend, mate. He's like absolutely
very
dead.
Fair.
Imagine that, having to do your initiation after you've won the Calcutta Cup.
I know.
Unbelievable.
Unreal. Just with the Scottish backs, thinking about the difference back to Wales, not one Scottish back did an offload on Saturday.
Yeah.
No, there were two.
Both from forwards.
Well, there were only two in the whole game.
Two in the whole game from the Scotland team.
Oh, my
This
word.
Is from ESPN. And they were both from forwards.
Wow.
And just thinking about how much the Scotland backs were trying to shovel bit.
Trying to force it. Oh, to think Chris Harris started 13 against Wales.
Mate, Chris Harris ripping out of a Newcastle.
Yeah, I know. I saw
so annoying.
Against like Worcester B. I mean, come on. There's only so much we can say. We're in Wednesday now. We've seen all the analysis. You've read everything you want to say. I mean, an unbelievable day for Scottish rugby. That's all you can really say. But can we back it up in 2 weeks' time?
What should we talk about? Ireland now.
Let's talk about Ireland. Thistle issue number two. What does that Scotland team need to improve for Ireland? And we're going to try and time this with our adverts. So we're going to do it after this advert, which will be tailor-made for your Google search history, so who knows what that's going
to
be.
Don't listen to this out loud at work.
Yeah, I wouldn't do that. We know what you're up to. Okay, Thistle Issue 2 coming up.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
After the advert. So what does your advert tell you about yourself? We'll leave you to think about that. Thistle issue number two. Right, lads, what does the Scotland team need to improve, if anything, to get a victory on the road in Dublin against Ireland? Alan, I'm coming to you first.
I don't know if there's too much they need to improve. I think it's whether they go in with that same game plan of trying to dominate the breakdown and how effective they can be at it. We were just chatting, and obviously Ireland had Omani, Stander and Levy in the back row, which I think is more like for like the England back row than kind of the Scottish back row, which is a bit more kind of lightweight, I'd say a little bit smarter, and is probably a bit better on the ground. And whether they take that same idea of being happy to slightly give up the game line in order to really compete at the breakdown, which, you know, it depends. It feels like a great plan when you get up in head, but not a really great plan when you're having to chase the game a little bit. And I think we've got the team. They got quite a few injuries. Furlong's out, Sean O'Brien's out,
Farrell's out now.
Henshaw's obviously out, although Ringrose looks like he might be back for 13.
Hugh Jones is so much better than Ringrose. Do you not think?
Oh, I agree.
How good is Hugh Jones?
We do like Hugh Jones.
I don't think the Irish back line is that good.
I was thinking this earlier today.
It's like Keith Earls and Rob Carney. Like,
I agree about Carney. I think Earls is quite good now. It's Murray and Sexton as well. That's the key. The thing about Ireland is if they decide to play their kind of power game and get on top of Scotland, which, you know, we've shown that maybe apart from the England match, that is perhaps Scotland's weakness.
They got Devin Toner.
Yeah, absolute state of Devin Toner.
But Ian Henson's injured as well, isn't he?
Yeah, he is.
So, I mean, no, I think it's a great chance to win. I think it's just mental. It's just, you know, Finn Russell was saying he's never played in Dublin before.
Yeah.
I mean, that's quite big in itself. I mean, you don't, you know, he's obviously backs himself, as we talked about, but, you know, it's still getting used to that and having that experience of these big pressure away games. And I think now the pressure is on for Scotland to back it up. And absolutely. I think maybe last week the pressure wasn't really on so much because England were favourites. I'm not saying Scotland are favourites, but I think it's a different sort of mindset they have to go into.
So touched on the back row there and the slight differences there. What do you make of that Finn Russell, Johnny Sexton matchup? Really, really different players. And Sexton, if he's one thing, he is tried and tested in that sort of international pressure cooker. He has delivered. Just look at the game against France, first game in the Six Nations. Like, he has got balls the size of balloons. That wasn't very good.
Yeah.
Massive balls. Anyway, you know, that's a huge difference between the two of them. But how do you think Finn will get on against them?
I don't know. That's the thing.
Yeah.
It's so hard to say. You hope that after the England match, he's going to be brimming full of confidence, and he's going to have the execution to back up his undoubted ambition and desire to play. Maybe it's getting to the point where, you know, Sexton's been around a while, but someone like Russell comes in and does something different. It's sort of his time to be the star of the show.
I mean, yes. I don't know this for a fact, but apart from Italy, I don't think we've won away from home in the Six Nations since Ireland in 2010.
I think you're right.
We've
only had six away victories ever in the Six Nations.
So I think the biggest hurdle for this team is just winning away at home.
Winning away at home.
So, that would be nice.
And I think you're wrong. I think Finn Russell is a better natural player than Johnny Sexton.
Boom.
He is. Johnny Sexton's a great player, but in terms of with the ball in hand and as a runner, he's not as natural a player as Finn Russell. He's a great game manager.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. Yeah.
But the worry is that Conor Murray and Johnny Sexton, if that pack does get a bit of four ball, are just so just effective at racking up points.
Yeah, the thing is, if Scotland keep playing this way, like against England, like they tried against Wales, they're effectively like revolutionising the Six Nations. Because who's won the Six Nations apart from, you know, you go back to the sort of 2003 when England had that team that could chuck the ball around a bit, but obviously had a big pack. Since then, it's sort of been the...
Wales had a little period.
Yeah, possibly, under Mike Ruddock.
Yeah.
But since then, it's sort of been power-orientated teams that play kind of fairly tight test match winning rugby. I think it's quite an interesting dynamic.
No, I agree. But I think that's Townsend's decision to push them even further towards the Glasgow style is completely deliberate. Because we just can't beat them at the power game.
Yep.
So if we're going to win the Six Nations, we need to take it down that different road. And I think that will end up with quite a few... you'll end up with a couple of pumpings along the way. Because it is a high-risk game plan.
Well, that's the thing. I think when I was talking about, you know, did Finn do that much difference between France and Wales and the England game? I think you're probably right that he did make some better choices in the England game. However, I think as Scotland fans, we're going to have to get used to the fact that one day or one in three or one in five, Finn's going to have a really bad game or somebody's going to work him out or he's going to chuck an interception pass. We're just probably going to have to deal with that because there's nobody else and that seems to just be part of his game.
Yeah, you don't want to sort of take that away from him.
No.
As well.
Makes it more interesting as well.
Yeah.
Stressful, but interesting.
Very stressful. Extremely, extremely stressful. What other areas of improvement do you think are there? Or
I think the one area, I thought the scrum was very good. The line-out maybe wasn't. It was probably the one area that you had a few questions over.
I think we lost two.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. It's not that big an issue.
Yeah.
But I think if we want to beat Ireland, you know, in an area that they're traditionally very strong at, you've got to be squeaky clean.
6'10", Devin Turner.
Yeah, exactly.
How the hell were we, like, winning the Mall on Saturday? I just couldn't even understand how that was happening.
Yeah.
We had such a lighter pack that's not used to playing that style of play. It's why starting to think Grant Gilchrist is actually super important to that Scotland
pack. He was always in the middle of them.
Because he was in the middle of all of them, and he is kind of way more than Richie Gray, loves that kind of gritty Mall, round the fringes tackling. And it, even though, as we said, we don't have the power game, at least having something like that gives us that ability to kind of counter the Mall.
Yeah.
And I think that really, really helped just to stifle England's momentum at the weekend.
And that was clearly England's strategy at the start, right? We're going to Mall them. We're going to, so every line out, even from sort of between the halfway and 22, they were mauling it, and swiftly realized it wasn't going to work.
Yeah,
it was a funny one.
Yeah. Okay. So no other areas for improvement, just more of the same.
More of the same, and
mentality.
Get it up
mentality.
Them.
I think gang up them is what they need to do.
Let's get another fight in the tunnel on the way.
Yeah, that was great. Let's talk about that.
Yeah.
So what does it look like? Obviously, it's now been ruled that there's going to be no discipline from Six Nations, obviously, because England said it was Scotland's fault. Scotland said it was England's fault.
Well, did you notice that in the interview afterwards, John Barclay was like, oh, I was in the toilet. And then when the second views, I mean, he was right there.
Yeah.
And the second camera view that's came out. So
it was Ryan,
yeah, closed
Ryan Wilson was saying whatever it was to George Ford. And then Owen Farrell sort of steams in and starts a little fight.
Yeah. I think that's pretty much it. But maybe, I don't know, maybe it didn't have that much of an impact, but maybe there was sort of a bit of a wrestling. Owen Farrell had a shocker in many senses.
Yeah.
Particularly in defense.
Missed so many tackles.
Oh, yeah. He's missed loads of tackles recently. So
how bad was Johnny May as well? Just, I know we're going back to the England game.
I felt quite bad for him.
How bad was Johnny May?
Yeah. Just think about the Owen Farrell missed tackle, actually. You kind of, for the second try, post, obviously, Finn Russell passing it to Maitland, that opportunity wasn't on. It was McAnally making that break that kind of brought the defence in. So Farrell missing that first up tackle that ended up with them getting that overlap in the side.
You know, a try should have been disallowed.
Why?
Because Farrell goes back, tries to turn it, and Watson comes in.
Oh, completely
and
neck rolls
complete
him.
Complete neck roll.
Oh, yeah.
Like a definition of a neck roll.
Oh, yeah.
Neck rolls
if really I was Owen Farrell, I'd be like, can you please take a look at that?
Yeah.
But anyway.
And then, obviously, Owen Farrell. Hugh Jones was Owen Farrell's man for that.
Yeah, it was the lack of communication between the two of them.
But yeah. Right, I've got a quiz.
You got a quiz? Let's do it.
Scotland-England related.
Okay.
Okay, let's do it.
Right, a nice easy one to open up with. The viral video that was going around on Saturday night featuring Greig Laidlaw ripping off his shirt and singing "Oh Flower of Scotland" with Finn Russell included two other Scottish rugby players. Who are they?
In the squad?
No, just two Scottish rugby players.
Yeah, I got it.
I thought
you'd both get them.
Yeah.
This millennium, only five Scottish players have scored points at Murrayfield in the Calcutta Cup. Who are those five players? So since this millennium,
yeah.
So since 2000, so Six Nations.
There's been eight Calcutta Cup games at Murrayfield. Only five Scottish players have scored points in those eight games.
Wow.
Three wins.
So not including Saturday's game.
Not including Saturday's game.
Okay.
And in addition to that, can you tell me the one person who has a drop goal in the Calcutta Cup at Murrayfield?
There's a drop goal?
Yeah.
Whatever, or Scotland in this millennium.
One drop goal this millennium.
Scotland or England or Scotland?
For Scotland.
For Scotland.
But you keep calling it Calcutta Cup.
The Calcutta Cup?
It's Calcutta.
Nah, I don't think it is.
Nah, you're wrong.
Calcutta.
2006,
Scotland, 18-12 mm-hmm. win.
I was there.
Against England. Bloody great game. Can you name me four of the starting Scotland pack that day? God.
Mate.
Some big names, like real big names. And I want starting pack. Because Ross, I'll tell you the bench, Ross Ford, Craig Smith, Nathan Hines, John Petrie, Cusseter, Gordon Ross, and Simon Webster.
Oh my God.
What's up? Great names. But yeah, four of that starting pack. Right, back to the first question. Give me the two lads who were in Why Not VIP Lounge belting out Au Fleur of Scotland on Saturday night with Finn Russell and Greig Laidlaw.
Adam Hastings and Hugh Jones?
Correct.
At the same.
Adam Hastings was getting well into the old FU.
Yeah, he
liked that.
Right, pre this match, five Scottish players have scored points in the Calcutta Cup this millennium. Who are those five players?
I've got Laidlaw.
Laidlaw, three pens in 2016.
I also have Laidlaw, and how about Chris Patterson?
Chris Patterson with circa 14 pens in one conversion.
I also have Patterson. Going to go Dan Parks.
Dan Parks is there as well.
I've also got Dan Parks. And the last person to score a try, Simon Danielli.
2004, he got one try.
I also have that, and I haven't got a fifth.
Are you joking?
I haven't got a fifth either, but I'll have a guess. Judged on your reaction,
go with it.
Sean Lamont?
No.
No, there's no try. Duncan Hodge.
Duncan Hodge.
Yes. Oh, of course.
2000, try, conversion, and penalties.
Got all the points.
All the points. Lord. And in 2002, he scored the one penalty.
Hodge.
Oh, nice.
Out of those five players, who's the only one to get a drop goal?
Dan Parks.
I'm going Patterson.
It's Dan Parks. Oh. In that 2006 game.
What a legend Dan Parks is.
So I think we're going in 7-all.
I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Yeah.
7-all, right. Dave, we'll start with you. Name me one of the starting pack from the 2006 18-12 win.
Gordon Bullock?
Gordon Bullock was not even in the squad.
Okay.
I think I know who the hooker was.
Yeah.
Fergus Thompson.
Fergus Thompson was not even in the squad.
What? He's beaten them before. I read an interview.
Maybe
with
in 2008.
Damn.
Okay, so not him.
Yep.
Scott Murray?
Scott Murray was not even in the squad.
Wow. I've got Scott Murray as well.
Wow. This is going extremely well.
Jason White.
The great white shark was there.
Yeah.
I've not got that. Which actually,
Ali Hogg, number 8.
Oh, yes. Nice, mate.
8-all. What have you got, Hanny?
I'm going for Chunk.
The Chunk was not squad.
Oh, no. I wrote down Simon Taylor.
Simon Taylor, starting at 7?
Oh, no.
Yes.
You got anything else? You got 5 seconds, or the win goes to Dave.
You've got
the three back row.
Scott McLeod.
Scott McLeod in the row. Dave, to take the win.
Who was he in the row with?
Who was he in the row? And who was in the front row?
Who was in the front? Who could have been the hooker? I'm really struggling with front row.
Well, who did you have written down?
I only had four people written down, so I'm now going off the top of my head for...
Well, he said Bullock.
Oh, yeah.
So I had written down Bullock, Hogg, Scott Murray, and Simon Taylor. I'm really struggling here. Nathan Hines?
No, I said he was on the bench.
Oh, sorry.
I mean, whoever...
I don't know.
Right. The other second row was Al Kellogg.
Okay. Give us a clue for the hooker. Another ones.
I'll give you the... One of the props was Bruce Douglas.
Okay.
I'm going to say the hooker. I'm going to say the hooker was Doogie Howell.
Oh, Doogie Howell.
And the other prop once chucked the pigskin around with Gordon Ross in Leeds.
Kerr.
Gavin Kerr.
Oh. How bad is that team?
How bad is that
for? That front row is so bad.
A front five is so bad.
So was that a draw?
No. Hanny won because of Gavin Kerr.
Okay.
Sorry,
mate. That's okay. I enjoyed that, though.
Yeah, no. I love the old Six Nations Scotland team. It's like my favourite thing in the world.
One of your better quizzes, and it doesn't seem that there's going to be any errors in that that will come out in the wash.
There really could be.
But there's going to be like 20 people that have scored at Murrayfield. Right, thanks a lot for that, Alan. Right, Thistley issue number 3. Let's do this quite quickly, lads. Are Edinburgh better than Glasgow? Alan, go ahead.
No.
Matt?
Yes.
Wow. This is quite a good start.
No, so, I don't think that, but I mean, what's the point of both of us saying no?
Okay, let me
make the case.
I think Edinburgh have got a better forward pack than Glasgow.
I agree with that.
I will say that much.
Maybe we think about it next year. Glasgow are going to lose Finn Russell. That's pretty massive.
Yep.
Edinburgh have signed John Barkley, Matt Scott. This Hickey guy could be quite good. And they've got a good pack. And they've come off the back of a season that's far exceeded their expectations.
Yeah.
Those are my points.
And they'll be at Mini Murrayfield. No, I think you're completely right. I think Glasgow need to make a couple of signings. Specifically, a 10. I still don't think Adam Hastings isn't good enough at the moment anyway to lead a Champions Cup campaign.
Exactly.
And I don't think Pete Horn and Rue Jackson, whilst have both been very good this season, are good enough tens to lead you through the Champions Cup. And whilst obviously Callum Gibbons has been great and sort of Matt Ferguson's obviously coming back, there's still something missing from that pack.
Yeah. I think particularly at the weekend when they went away to Munster, it just seemed as if that just wasn't something sort of that gnarled type of forward, aggressive That's forward right. that they need.
A really gnarly sort of second rower to go alongside Johnny Gray.
Yeah.
Like that. Because I just think
they've got a lot of players there. You've got kind of Cumming, Swinson, Big Bri. Yeah.
I honestly think John Hardy could do a job at Glasgow. Put him in that back row of Wilson, Hardy, and Matt Ferguson. Mm. I think Hardy just brings you something a little bit different.
Gibbons.
Oh, and Gibbons. Yeah, yeah. But I think Hardy just gives you something a little bit different.
He has been, although obviously he had his ban, he's been really good since he came back. Played in a lot of victories as well.
And I think he'll have a big role for Scotland playing up in the 2019 World Cup.
Interesting.
You think he'll get back into the national setup?
I think he's too good not to.
Interesting.
Very interesting.
We've got Barkley and Watson, but
Jamie Ritchie.
Yeah.
He's more of a kind of six, I'd say.
Yeah.
And I think Bradbury is as well. I think Hardy is a good player to have in that squad, and you'd back him at international level to do a good job if Watson or Barkley go down.
Pour some cold water on my theory, my argument.
What? Glasgow are top of the league and Edinburgh are third in their league. It's a stupid thing to say.
I mean, yeah, that's what I was thinking.
I put this question in because I wanted to get the conversation started. I think the answer for me is no, but next year they could be if Glasgow don't make any changes. I think that Edinburgh squad, I mean, we're miles away from the start of next season, but that Edinburgh squad is already looking very strong.
Mm.
And the percentage gains on individuals within that squad underneath Cockerell, particularly in the pack, look at McNally at the start of the year. Look at Grant Gilchrist at the start of the year. Look at Simon Bergen at the start of the year compared to now. You've got to apportion some of that to Cockerell and the success they're having at Edinburgh.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. And maybe when you look at the other side of things, Glasgow, someone like George Horn's probably been the best player, a standout player by far.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah,
so he's clearly come on leaps and bounds under Rennie. You know, obviously, Glasgow's still been playing very well, but I find beyond that quite hard to sort of pinpoint guys that have...
It won't happen. George Horn should go to Edinburgh. the one position that Edinburgh should chuck the boat at is nine.
Chuck the boat.
Chuck the boat.
What's the
phrase? Push the boat out. Chuck the boat out.
Chuck the boat at George Horn.
But you know what I mean. You've got Ali Price, who's the best nine playing club rugby in Scotland. You've got George Horn, who's already second best and has the potential to possibly even be better than Ali Price.
I think so.
What is the point in having them both at Glasgow when Edinburgh are crying out for a world-class nine?
With Hidalgo Klein leaving in particular.
With Hidalgo Klein leaving. Yeah. Now, there is chat about the Kiwi nine.
Finlay Christie.
Finlay Christie's the lad at the...
We don't know if it's Finlay Christie.
That's what we're speculating.
Yeah.
And we are speculating wildly.
Get Augustine Pulu in from the Blues.
Oh,
how good would he be?
He'd be so good.
He'd be so good.
Maybe like TJ Perenara. It's fine. But yeah, as I say, I think the Edinburgh have... I think you're completely right. For next season, I think that back line is getting better. It's maybe not got as much subtlety as some back lines.
Yeah.
But that pack can beat almost any team in Europe. Mm. I just think you need a nine to really make that team. I don't know who there is on the market to get there. And that's why I thought possibly that George Horn might have moved across there, but obviously you've now re-signed him for another year at Glasgow.
Yeah.
Whether you move Henry Purgis across, but whether that would make a big an impact.
Could be okay.
I'm not sure.
I suppose you've got another match. You've got the third decider.
Well, that's the thing.
Yeah, in 1872, so our question might be answered.
I think it will be answered by the end of the year.
Depending on what the
I wanted to highlight the improvements of Edinburgh, but I think if you look back at Glasgow versus Exeter, where they were pretty much, they were within one score for 75 minutes, that was a pretty decent performance by Glasgow.
Beat them at home as well.
Against Montpellier, they were pretty decent for long periods of that game and sticking in.
Mm.
But I think it feels that just because Edinburgh have made such improvement, that I think it's great that they're going to be possibly getting Champions Cup next year. It just feels that it's a really positive thing.
It looks likely that Edinburgh will come third, I'd say.
So that means the automatic qualification?
Automatic qualification for the Champions Cup.
Yeah.
And we'll then play probably Munster in the Pro 14 quarterfinals away at Tobin Park.
Oh, I see. So they play the top of the other.
They play second in Glasgow's
one. The top of each one goes straight through. And then
So it'll probably be Leinster.
Quarterfinals, yeah.
And then, yeah. So if Edinburgh get third, get Champions Cup, probably will lose to Munster away.
Yeah.
You got to say that's a great season for
them. Incredible.
Definitely. I think in that final 1872, I think Edinburgh win it. I think they're exactly the sort of team that beats Glasgow.
Where is it?
I'll put 20 quid on it that Glasgow win.
20 quid? I'll take that right now. I'll shake your hand.
Oh,
right there.
Got a witness.
Got a witness. Right, should we call it a day?
Call it a day.
Let's get back out into the beast from the east and get ourselves home safely. Thanks again for joining us, guys. Please follow us on Twitter at Thistle Rugby Pod, on Instagram, Thistle_Rugby_Pod. And please get on iTunes, 5-star reviews. It really helps us out. And we will read them out on the show next week. Cheers. Thanks a lot for your time.
Cheers.
See you guys.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.